This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, a look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. Thanks for joining us, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher to listen each week. This week, we pick up the discussion on four big events coming up this month and speak with some of the fighters involved. Adrian Henderson, Chris Buttry, and Carmen Carroll will all be on the line with us tonight. We'll also touch on a big weekend of UFC fights and a little drama from one of the promotion's champions. And as always, we will address your questions during our Q&A segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, we've had a few weeks to dust ourselves off following the UMAF Nationals, but now things are about to pick up in a major way. A lot going on this month.
Yeah, it's about to get really busy. This is like the last kind of slow week, and then it really picks up. You know, we got the 50-50 show next weekend. Weekend after that, we're headed to Columbia for a conflict. Same night at Jimbo's got Warrior, and then the week after that is there's something else. Isn't there something like right after that too?
That would be the Shed, right?
Yes, the Shed. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, damn. Yes, the Shed. The Shed's June 30th, of course. And then the week after that, I'll be in Vegas. But you'll be running Strike Fest. So there's still lots of stuff coming up, man. It's about to be busy.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning. Well, we are also joined by a special guest host tonight. He is an undefeated professional mixed martial artist, as well as one of the coaches at American Killer Bees in Cleveland, Tennessee, a familiar face at Valor Fights, and a man that is never at a loss for words, Willis Benjamin Sargent. Ben, it's a pleasure to have you on the Valor Hour. You know, you've made a few cameos here, poking and prodding your teammates during the interviews they've had, but it's your first time co-hosting tonight. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm very nervous to be on here. I'm very nervous. I'm just joking. I love doing this with you guys, and we are going to be rocking and rolling today. I am going to bring the controversial. You ask me a question, and you're going to get an answer.
All right, guys, let's get down to the discussion. So many events to talk about this month, and we will get to each one of them. First on the list is Black Diamond Beatdown. It goes down June 9th. That's this Friday night at the Virginia-Kentucky State Fair. The main event features the Laughing Assassin, Jay Page, taking on Lone Wolf, Jeremiah Harper, two guys that I know very well. It's been a while since we've seen either of these two in action. And to have them face off against each other is a treat for longtime fans of the region. Of course, Black Diamond Beatdown is the brainchild of Roy Sanders, who has been a constant face in the Valor Fights organization. Gentlemen, your take on this event.
Always exciting to see a Black Diamond Beatdown event. Those my good friend Roy Sanders there is the 9th or 10th one. He's had several now, and it's always a good time. We went to the one last year at this same place, and that's where we actually signed Chandler Cole to his pro contract. So, you know, Roy has produced some pretty good talent out of there. This is an interesting card. I don't know a whole lot of the guys on there, but I know the main event should be pretty cool. You know, it's kind of a pride, Southeastern, like pride type fight. You know, it's certainly an intriguing one. It's really hard to say how it goes, man. I mean, I would have to imagine Harper's going to, you know, have a pretty good size advantage. You know, Jay obviously has a big experience advantage, but, you know, if he if it goes to the ground, I feel like Jay's, you know, got the upper hand. But, you know, Harper's got a lot of knockout power. So, man, it's kind of a toss-up fight, honestly. It's a good main event. And it's, like, really cheap. Like, I think you can go, like, it's, like, included with your fair admission. So if you, like, go to the fair, it's, like, $9 or some such.
Both of these guys are very charismatic and vocal, kind of in different ways. Jay Page is sort of a friendly style of talker, whereas Jeremiah Harper, he'll get straight ghetto on you if you start talking trash. So it's a lot of fun there. We've not gotten a lot of that trash talk, and I really kind of wish that we had both those guys on here tonight with us, especially with Ben. Ben, do you know either of these fighters?
Yo, you know what? I love them both. We need to get them on. We need to build this up, this beautiful thing called shit talk. And we need to get them on here. I don't know which one is the underdog, but I always root for the underdog when I'm just cheering in the cheering section, just hanging out. I always want to see the underdog win. I'm excited for this fight. And Tim, are you going to these fights?
Man, I if I had like this a teleportation machine, I surely would. But I just don't know if I can bring myself to make the drive because I know I've got like 4 straight weeks of freaking being on the road. So I really think I'll probably set this one out, enjoy one last weekend at home. You know, although I'd love to see it. Hopefully somebody will stream it or something on the Facebook.
Absolutely.
Well, it'll undoubtedly be streamed. Now, Ben, you were talking about an underdog. It's really hard to call an underdog. You know, Tim, you kind of gave your thoughts on it. But really, you know, you're talking about Jay Page, who I believe is probably 42 or 43 years old now. He retired a couple of years ago, and he's making a comeback. But that on the same token, you've got Jeremiah Harper, who's still a young man, but he's taken a year or so off as well. And we don't know really, you know, either where either of the guys have been training. Both of them actually trained at Team Oxendine at separate time, periods of time. And so I know them both very well, and I actually opted out of working with either of them leading into this fight. So, I think it's going to be a real interesting fight, and it's so well matched, and so many different things could happen. You could have like you mentioned, a submission out of Jay. You could have a knockout from Harper, but then I've seen Jay throw for the fences with Sam Burns and have a war, so anything could really happen. I really am looking forward to it. And again, I hope I can catch it on a stream as well. Now, well, let's move on to national news. It was a huge Saturday night in Brazil for UFC 212. Of course, history made as Max Holloway dethrones Jose Aldo by TKO. It was a war that many felt Aldo was winning, but nobody can deny Holloway following this dominant finish. Tim, your thoughts on the fight, and could we be seeing a new Hawaiian counterpart to Conor McGregor?
Man, Holloway was impressive, and Aldo, he was definitely, I had him winning the first round, but he was starting to fade, and I could see it starting to go the other way, starting in the second, and he had Holloway hurt for sure. I thought he may get a KO in the first. He was definitely, on Queer Street there, but he was, was able to withstand the ambush and was able to really pull ahead in the second and third rounds, and it looked like he was really just kind of outclassing Aldo. And Holloway's a guy that's on the rise, man. He's a guy that it was kind of quiet when he first came in, and I may be wrong, but I think that's like 11 in a row for him. It's like a really big win streak, and so he could be a new Hawaiian counterpart to Conor McGregor. I don't know if we'll ever see that fight the way they talk, like Conor's done at 45, but I could see them probably doing maybe Frankie next. I don't know that I think he's already fought Cub Swanson. So, I think, he's definitely his star is shining bright.
Ben, what say you?
I am a fighter, and I have been natural my whole career, and I am excited to see once steroid users lose. And obviously, Jose Aldo, he doesn't have a special kind of gasoline in his tank anymore. and it shows. He's not weighing anymore. He's not an animal anymore. He doesn't have that humongous gas tank anymore. I hate to say I like people's failures, but when you cheat, you are going to get caught, and regardless of how you get caught, you're going to get caught. And mm-hmm. you're seeing these guys just randomly losing after being so dominant. It is because they're getting caught. They're getting caught up in their own shenanigans. And with Max Holloway fighting McGregor, I think Holloway is evolving, and they have already fought. But I think the UFC saw that as their marketing tool, Conor mm-hmm. McGregor, having a close one with him. And also, they always stay away from guys that have reach or longer reach than Conor McGregor. You know, they try to stay away from the Nate Diaz thing. Then they fought, Nate Diaz beat him, and they're like, no, don't fight him again. That's all they're doing. They're keeping that baby taken care of. He beats guys because he has reach. He could touch people first. That's reach. They're not going to put him up against Holloway because Holloway can beat him. Ferguson can beat him at 55. They don't really know what's going to happen. If Ferguson can get 55 belt, you could see Conor McGregor being done in the UFC. That's my take.
Do you really think that Conor McGregor is done with a loss, though? I mean, honestly, I felt like that he came out even stronger following the second Nate Diaz fight. You saw a lot out of him. You saw him actually grow and probably become more popular following the loss. Wouldn't you agree?
He is. Yeah, he is. I mean, that loss didn't do anything negative for him. All it did is just prove that my theory was correct. The reach is terrible for him. And for Holloway, guys like Holloway, they're long, you know, that's long reach. Lanky, you have a guy that, and you know, he's a counter fighter. He's a good counter fighter. Of course, he's lanky, he's long. That's too risky for Conor McGregor. You know, Ferguson, it's too risky for him. They're not going to put him up against somebody. You know, he dominates. He's like, Conor McGregor is ginormous against Mayweather. That's why it's in the play. That's why he's calling out Mayweather. He knows, hey, I'm longer than him. I have advantage that I usually have on MMA guys. I'm going to use it. I'm going to try to use it to make some money.
Well, moving on, it was the ladies co-headlining this event. Claudia Gadea taking on Karolina Kowalkiewicz. Two fighters who have both taken current champ Joanna Zerjak and given her all she could handle. Gadea secures the RNC just 3 minutes into round one. Dominant victory there. Tim, could we see her back vying for the title again very soon in a rematch?
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I think she can win, but I don't think they'll do it soon. I think they're going to want to still like build her up even more before a rematch, because I still think there's a decent gap, you know, between her and Joanna. But I think we could probably see maybe her and Jessica Andrade or Rose Namajunas or something like that first.
Right. You know, honestly, though, I saw Gadea doing very good things early in that fight with Joanna. It's one of those things where you just have to have such a deep gas tank, especially for five rounds, to take Joanna out of her game. And so I definitely think it would be an interesting fight, but I agree with you. Let's move on and then look back in the near future. Ben, what was your take on this fight?
I think it was excellent. I used to be the biggest hater when it came to women's MMA. Now I'm one of the biggest fans of women's MMA. I love the way it actually is evolving and developing. I mean, you have these, you know, the reason why I hate it is because you used to have these girls that, all they cared about was, oh, let's push her because she's hot. Let's push her this set. Well, they couldn't fight. They still, you know, they looked like girls and they fought like girls. Now these girls are coming up and they're just vicious. There's nothing more than I like to see two ugly broads just going at it. And you know what? It's the sport. We are gladiators. It's not a modeling competition, you know. And these two girls were gladiators, and they to each their own. They can be beautiful to other people, but I absolutely love the fight. It's a war. Will they go up against Miss Polish? I don't know. Who else is there in the division? You know, wasn't that the top ranked fight?
Well, it was definitely a great win. We also saw Vitor Belfort with a unanimous decision victory over fellow veteran Nate Marquardt in a fight many believe to be his final outing inside the octagon. Both of you guys, your thoughts on the phenom as he closes out a decorated career, or potentially closes out his career?
I mean, I think everybody expected him to. That was like the word, but I don't think he did. I think he's still gonna fight more. And I don't know. I mean, he his cardio was good. That looked good. And you know, it was his first fight with TriStar, if I'm not mistaken. So that might have kind of invigorated him. I actually lost money on that fight because I had Vitor winning inside the distance, because he hasn't, like, I don't know. Like, is that the first time he's ever gone to a decision, or is like the first time he's been to a decision in like 10 years or something really crazy?
Yeah, it's the first time he's ever won a decision, that's for sure.
Right. And so it was like, I didn't expect that. He definitely fought. It went different than what I expected. You know, I actually thought he would get knocked out, or he would knock Marquardt out, but it went all the distance, you know, and it sounds like he's going to keep at it.
Well, I'll tell you something that sounds would be interesting to me would be, and of course it's probably not going to happen there, but I always wanted to see Silva, Wanderlei Silva and Belfort go at it a second time. You know, you remember they fought that first time in which Vitor got the jump on him way back in the day and put Wanderlei Silva down. That was even before Wanderlei Silva's big run. So I always thought it would have been an interesting fight to see a rematch of. And both guys were kind of in the twilight years.
Yeah, I think that would be a – I heard something that they were going to do like a Legends League.
I think I did hear about that too.
Yeah, that'd be cool to see. Vitor Belfort winning, that was, you could tell he definitely is switching up his game plan. I mean, he won by decision, like I said. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Vitor Belfort is one of the reasons why I got into the sport. I was doing boxing at 12 years old, and I randomly saw Vitor Belfort in the UFC early years. And I don't care, you know, I've always said, you know, I hate fighting people on steroids, I hate doing that stuff, but Vitor Belfort is just, he's a phenom, you know, you can't deny it. I don't care, I mean, he loses when he's not on juice, he wins when he is on juice. He won because he switched up his game plan here, obviously, probably most likely wasn't on juice, but he's, you know, him and Wanderlei Silva are my number two, why I got into the sport, and I love to watch him fight. I love that fight. And whatever he decides to do, he's still going to be the reason why I came into the sport. You know, I want to do that. I remember saying that, seeing him knock people out. I said, I want to do that. So it was amazing. He's an amazing fighter, and whatever he decides to do, I'm going to be one of his biggest fans.
A final note on this card had to be Rafael Assuncao's split decision victory over former World Series of Fighting champ Marlon Moraes, mirroring very similar the UFC debut of Eddie Alvarez, another former champ of a rival promotion. Moraes was met with a disappointing loss. A little debate over the decision, but par for the course with any split decision. Ultimately, hard-earned win by one of the favorites here in the Southeast, Rafael Assuncao. Tim, your thoughts?
You know, I knew that one was going to be really tough for Moraes because he hadn't – I mean, he was, you know, streaking in World Series of Fighting, but he still hadn't fought anybody near Assuncao's level. That was still, without a doubt, his toughest opponent, not Assuncao's toughest opponent, who's fought, you know, the best of the best. Combined with his first, you know, it being his first fight in the UFC, I knew that was going to be an uphill battle for him, but I actually had him winning. I thought he won, but I mean, it wasn't any sort of robbery. It was close, but I actually thought he did enough to win, but, you know, not any sort of upset there, in my opinion, with Sun Sal getting the win and giving him a tough welcome to the UFC.
Ben, your take.
Well, it's the UFC, you know. He was a champion in another organization, but you know what? Honestly, it wasn't the UFC, and he should have pumped his brakes going into the UFC, pumped him up a little bit, and said, you know what? I'm going to take a humbling fight. I'm going to take a fight that is probably, you know, because the UFC, that's a huge step up. That's a big step on the. You know, on the staircase, and he took that step and he fell down. So we'll see what he looks like, you know, getting back on those stairs.
Well, we can't close out our UFC news without touching on the statement of current flyweight champ Demetrius Johnson, considered by many to be the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. Johnson lashed out this week at what he is calling a bullying, biased attitude from the UFC and President Dana White, as well as the company's unwillingness to promote adequately a fighter many consider the greatest of all time. This comes following Johnson's refusal to accept a potential matchup with TJ Dillashaw, which he believes curbs his efforts to break the record for most championship title defenses and eventually transition into the bantamweight division. From the perspective of the UFC, I'm certain their position stems from the less than favorable ratings numbers produced in the previous DJ fights. However, Tim, Ben, what say you?
You know, I think I'm torn. You know, I try my best to look at things from both sides, being a promoter, you know, and trying to also look at it from the fighter's point of view. And I mean, I see both sides. You know, I think that Demetrius is probably pound for pound the best fighter in the world. He's looking to break the record for the most title defenses, you know, and if I read it correctly, you know, he ultimately is just wanting to do what the UFC insisted that he do, and that is defend his title against Ray Borg, which, you know, I mean, Ray Borg's tough. He's, you know, he's great, great fighter, but like, is that gonna move the needle? You know what I mean? Is that gonna sell pay-per-views? So, you know, I get in his mind, he's doing what they asked, and I get his argument that TJ hasn't fought as a flyweight yet, so he's not, you know, really a credible challenger at flyweight till he has made the weight and fought. So, you know, I think the best thing the UFC could probably have done was do Borg and Dillashaw and let the winner fight Johnson. That lets Dillashaw prove he can make 125 and get a win there and perform. You know, at the same time, like I said, I get why he's frustrated, you know, because he is. He's a stud. He's very good. And it doesn't seem like he gets the love that a lot of these other guys do get in their marketing efforts. But again, you know, it's a business. And, you know, if DJ doesn't really move the needle like others, then, you know, who is anyone to tell the UFC how to run their business?
Ben, what's your take?
I think he needs to calm down. The little dude, little dude, he's got to calm down, man. Because honestly, he's not. You know, like what's the welterweight champion's name?
Cody. Oh no, 170. Woodley.
Yeah, Woodley. Okay, Woodley talks about how the UFC's a racist, this and that. Okay, everybody's like, oh crap, when's he gonna get cut? But he could do that. He actually pushes numbers. People, honestly, let's face it. Who goes to Buffalo Wild Wings and says, "Oh, I can't wait to watch the 125ers. I can't wait to watch and sit and watch a 25-minute fight." No, nobody really said. Not a lot of people say that. He doesn't have enough ground to speak his mind and speak up. And honestly, when people go off on promoters and the promotion, they're stupid. Honestly, that's the only, you know, you can't use the word stupid too much, but in this case, it's
boneheaded.
We have, huh?
Boneheaded.
Bonehead. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're boneheads. They're a bunch of boneheads. And, like Tim and I, Tim's a promoter. He's the promoter of the fight promotion that I fight for. I fought for the last fight, and I plan on fighting for him many more times. I hope to be his champion. You know, I do get pissed off at Tim. You know what I do? I don't go to Facebook and read about it. What I do, I call Tim and I say, "Hey Tim, I don't like this, this and that. Well, let's figure it out. Let's figure it out." You have to be a man and a businessman in this sport. And he wasn't like that. Demetrius Johnson wasn't like that. And you act silly and you call each other names and you're saying it's not fair. And call somebody on the phone, show up, say, "Hey, I don't like this." Don't be a bonehead like Ben Roland and say, "Oh, well, you're stupid. I'm stupid. You're stupid. I don't like this. I could do what I want." Actually, you can't, motherfucker. You're on a contract. You know, like it wears me out. This is not just a bonehead sport. This is a business. And when people disrespect me, it's a business. And you got to realize that. And the people that don't say anything to me and mind their own business, they understand it's a business too. That's all I got to say.
Well, there you have it. Some big UFC news. That does it for the UFC news, in fact. But before we speak with our first guest this evening, it's time for our weekly Q&A segment, where Valor Fights President Tim Loy answers your questions. As announced, Valor Fights heads to Maryville, Tennessee, June 30th with Fight Night at the Shed at Smoky Mountain Harley-Davidson. Of course, there was an X-Series event at Heritage High School way back in 2012, but this is the first event under the Valor Fights banner, and we are very excited. We've received lots of questions pertaining to this event, which Mr. Loy will address now. Tim, are you ready?
Let's do it.
And we may throw Ben in there, and I may, you know, chime in a little bit too.
Sure.
Question number one, after his big win over Shane Schaffner, how excited are you to see Jacob Clemens defend his title?
Very, man. Jacob is one of those guys that I'm a big fan of, and he is already defended his title once, so this will be a second title defense. The fight against Schaffner was his first one, and he won the title back in September of last year, one of the most well-rounded guys out there, and really getting close to a pro level fighter, in my opinion. Very well-rounded, great wrestling, good subs, good striking, incredible gas tank, good look. So he's got it going on, man, and we're always excited to see him fight. We've got a tough one coming for him, Diego Bautista from the Atlanta area, and he will be coming up here to challenge. He's very headstrong and confident. He's going to come up here and win, and so we're excited, man. Two very good prospects, and Jacob, a guy that has been with us from the start, and we look forward to seeing how this one shakes out.
Ben, you've called a few of Jacob Clemens' fights. Give your take on this athlete.
Well, he's just that. He's an athlete, and I can't wait to see what he brings, what else he brings to the sport. He's young in his career, and he's definitely showing that he's blossoming into an incredible fighter. So it's going to be interesting to see what that fighter turns out to be.
All right. Well, let's move on. Question number two, and this is not so much a Fight Night at the Shed question, but kind of. Yesterday was Jennifer Oxendine's birthday. Now, of course, that's my wife, Jennifer Oxendine. Is there anyone else you'd rather have serve as ring announcer at your events?
You know, I can't imagine. You know, Jennifer's like the total package. You know, she's it's really cool being able not only just to, you know, kind of really be the only promotion around that has a female ring announcer as, you know, steady. And on top of that, she's great. You know, she does a great job. She's got a great rapport with our audience. She knows our crowd, and our crowd, they have a really cool connection that you can see. So she knows how to get them up, you know, how to level them out. And at the same time, great camera presence and very approachable by our fans that they want to get pictures and whatnot. So her and my wife are great friends. So no, I can't imagine there being any other ring announcer we'd rather have.
Well, not only could I not imagine another ring announcer, but I couldn't imagine living with anyone else. I couldn't imagine going out to dinner with anybody else. You know, it's my main squeeze. So all those good things rolled into one. I say everything I can to never get in trouble. So thanks a bunch.
Happy belated birthday, Jennifer, from everybody at Valor Hour.
Yeah, I sure will. Absolutely. She appreciated all of the posts too. They were really nice. And you know how she gets, you know, as soon as she sees something like that, I look over and she's all teared up and I'm like, what's going on? I think something's wrong's going on. And she's just all tenderhearted. And you know, she says, they put this post up about me. So, she definitely appreciates it. Question number three, what's the biggest difference between booking amateur and professional fights? And do you prefer one over the other?
Man, the biggest difference has got to be reliability. And I'm not saying that just because someone is a professional makes them just completely reliable across the board. But there's something about the prerequisites and the hoops that you have to jump through to be a professional that make things a little more surefire that things are going to go off the way you want them to. You know, it's not always. But amateurs, there's so many amateurs that don't give a shit that just, you know, what the worst thing that happens to them if they, you know, screw you or whatever is that they go on down the road to the next person they want to screw. So I got to say, I prefer booking the pros for sure. How about you, man? You've booked a lot of fights yourself.
Oh, I mean, for sure, professionals. Just, again, because, yeah, you got to pay them. Yeah, you got to have more insurance, but you've got a contract there. And there's a lot more going on. And depending on which state you're working with, it can be easier. You know, I worked in South Carolina last, and the one thing I will say about South Carolina is that they're connected with that whole ABC database type thing. So if they suspend somebody, they're suspended all the way across the board, all over the United States. So, you know, definitely the pros, you have that going for you. You can't just back out without a reason. So, Ben, you've matched a few fights in your day here and there. What's your take?
Oh, wow, man. I would have to say, I'd actually have to, I'm sorry, but I'd have to disagree with you guys. It's easier matching amateurs, I think, getting that going, because pros, I mean, you're building a poster, you're blowing them up, you know, you're actually paying them. And some of those dudes are flaky. And I wish I could go out there, find them, and beat them with a baseball bat. But, you know, you can't do that anymore. But it's the professional level is so tricky, man. And you want to see those fights. So you want to be able to pay that money. But, you know, you got to be smart about it. The amateur level, if somebody falls out, you could find somebody to fall back in, because the amateurs are just so much more hungrier to, you know, try to look cool in front of their friends or really try to push themselves and hurry up and go pro, or, you know, beat somebody up, or, you know, see, you know, try to practice on what they've been practicing on in the gym. So I think, amateur wise, you know, I'm a little bit smarter as a professional, but amateur, I literally took fights on day notice. I took many fights on week notice. You know, I'd fight anytime, any day, anytime. You know, it's different as a professional. So that's my take.
Well, on that same note, still talking about fight night at the Shed, Tim, which amateur fighter on this card do you think has the most potential as a pro fighter?
I mean, it's always like, why can't the question ever be like your top three or something like that? It's hard to narrow down to one.
Well, give your top three.
I'm going to give, you know, there's three that I really, really think, and that's Jacob Clemens, AJ Bowden and potentially Casey Peel. But Peel's coming off a loss. It'll be interesting to see how he rebounds from the loss to Bubba Cruz last time out. And he's fighting Rodrigo Martinez, which is going to be a really good test, who we saw in Newport. But, you know, AJ Bowden, he's undefeated, I believe. He's fighting a tough Kevin Alexander, and I think he's a guy that could make that leap pretty soon. He was really dominant against Rodrigo Gonzalez last time we saw him in Cleveland. But if I got to pick one, I'm going with Jacob Clemens. You know, he's the closest to being ready. I think he's a fight or two away from making that leap, and I think he'll immediately be competitive as a pro.
Well, I agree as well. I'm excited to see Emily Prince back in action again. You know, just always the females, of course, you know, at 50-50 fight night, we have her teammate, Christina Ricker, getting ready to throw down for the title there. And then, of course, Emily Prince will be back in action there pretty much in her hometown. So excited to see that matchup come to play as well. Question number five. A lot can change in more than 3 weeks, but which fight are you most look forward to for the Fight Night in the Shed event?
So many, again, that I'm really pumped for. But I guess, you know, I'm going to say the fight that I think is going to be just, like, for sure good, you know, and it's going to probably be explosive and, like, who knows what's going to happen, is going to be Casey Peel and Rodrigo Martinez. You know, Peel is the experienced guy with a lot of power in his hands, and Rodrigo is definitely the entry level. You know, he's only had the one fight, but he looked really good. If you remember in Newport, he surprised a lot of us. So, yeah, I think that's going to be an all action fight.
Ben, have you had a chance to look over the card yet?
Is Ricker and the other girl fighting on that?
That's next week at 50-50. This is the card. Ben's got guys on this. This is Dakota Pell and Joseph Long and Lee Pokes. You know, Ben's got three fighters on this card. Yeah, I think Lee Polk and Travis Gregoire could be really good.
Yes, very good fight.
I'm holding them. Those guys, Lee's training hard. He's going up in weight class. You got, I'm trying to con Tim into getting Anthony Bryant on the fight. He is a stud at 155. I'd like to see how he reacts in the cage. And then get him on another date. I want to get him busy. He is very unorthodox, very, 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 very strong. He's stronger than me, and he fights at 155. You know, don't let his opponent listen to this. But, I mean, it's all about how he performs, though. So, I mean, he could perform like crap, but I would like to see him on there. Logan Neal, I call him Hunter. His middle name's Hunter. He's coming off from, I think, two losses. We're really pushing him. I'm pushing his cardio real hard. Technique is always there. We gotta push his technique. And we got Old Cosby. He's a monster.
Joseph Long.
We're gonna unleash him. Yeah, it's Dustin Long. I can't wait to see him fight. It's Joseph Long. I'm sorry.
And that's one that, you know, we've seen Joseph kickbox a couple times, and he's fighting Patrick Johnson from the local Legends. That's one that I'm really looking forward to as well.
Yeah, he's Joseph. You know, you see him do is kickbox. And, you know, he's come a long, long, long way from his first kickboxing match all the way up to now, just, you know, in the gym. He has jiu-jitsu. He has, you know, he wrestled as a kid all the way up through wrestling. And, you know, he loves the bang. And he can keep it up on his feet because of his wrestling. It does go to the ground. He has jiu-jitsu. I'm really excited to see him perform and look for him to be wearing the Superman Muay Thai shorts.
Tim, you mentioned Gregoire and Polk. And of course, they share a common opponent in James Garmany. And both, you know, came out, have had wars. And I agree with you. I think this one could be fight of the night. Talk a little bit more about that one, Tim.
Yeah, you know, both guys have pretty much, you know, hit the wall against James Garmany, but other than that, have looked really good. And I think that, you know, they've kind of like talked about fighting each other now for a while. So, you know, you'll see little Facebook back and forth with these guys, you know, for the past year, really. So it's going to be a fun one. I think, you know, both are characters and, you know, I'm sure the weigh-ins will be fun and, that's a hard one to call, man. We'll have to get a little bit closer to get into our preview to really kind of break that one down. But I think that's one that will be an all action fight. There's a lot of fights on this card. They're going to be action fights. So I'm excited to come to bring it to Maryville for the first time in so long and put this show in front of them, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, remember, 50-50 Fight Night goes down next Friday, June 16th, with tickets available through your favorite fighter or at 50-50. Now, Fight Night at the Shed goes down Saturday, June 30th at the Smoky Mountain Harley-Davidson. Now, tickets are on sale now at smh-d.com, the official website of Smoky Mountain Harley-Davidson. So get those tickets ASAP. As seats are extremely limited. Small venue, right, Tim?
It is. It's a really cool venue. Like, they do concerts and stuff there. If you look it up online, the Shed, I think it's called a like Juke Joint and Smokehouse. They've got like a smokehouse on site where they're roasting stuff and selling, you know, they got alcohol, and it's a really cool venue, you know, that there are concerts where the bikes can just ride up to it, you know, and so it's going to be a really cool, like, festival type atmosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun, I promise.
Very cool. Well, Tim, thanks as always for your insight on these questions. And remember, everyone, send in your questions each week, and Tim Loy will answer them. Now, with that being said, it's time to move on to the interviews and speak with the first of our three guests this week. We have the renowned South Carolina heavyweight Adrian A-Train Henderson on the line. A-Train is an 8-2 professional mixed martial arts fighter who prepares to face Brandon Sales for the Conflict MMA heavyweight title Saturday, June 24th at Conflict 43 in his hometown of Columbia, South Carolina. Adrian, so great to have you with us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Man, it's been a story for you and Conflict. Of course, you know, you've been with Conflict for a very, very long time, competed 9 times as a pro and an amateur. And you were a longtime heavyweight champion. You dropped that title in a controversial bout with Tomar Washington. He was eventually stripped of the title, and now you return to face Brandon Sales for that same title. You know, talk about what's going on here.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things. We really wanted to have a rematch between me and Tomar, but you know, that he had some things going on, he said, so we cannot, you know, get lined up. So, I mean, I don't know, everything was said. There was a whole lot of stuff going back and forth for months about whether we could do the rematch or not, but it just didn't fall through in time. And Conflict wanted to move forward. They didn't want to wait. You know, this is not Conor McGregor. Like, you know, you just can't do what you want to do around here. So they didn't want to wait, and they asked me if I want to fight for the title again. I said, yeah, sure.
Well, this big monster that's coming after you this time stands 6'5" and weighs in at 305 pounds. And he's been around for a long time. He took a little time off, about 5 years, and he came back earlier in February and got a submission win over Robert Neal. I'm talking about Brandon Sales. Talk a little bit, you know, your take on Sales and in your strategy going into this fight.
I actually been aware of Brandon since I probably was like, maybe like an amateur somewhere in that, you know, era, because he's from Georgia, to my knowledge. And I was offered to fight him maybe like 8 months ago or so. And see, he fights at super heavyweight mainly. And like right after that fight, I fought a guy that was supposed to be weighing at 265, comes in at 308 the day of the fight. So after I took that, I just went ahead and took that fight. I still won. But I was like, if this guy's fight at super heavyweight all the time, I can't trust that he's going to actually make weight when he's never made weight for a real fight. So he's fought at heavyweight, I think, twice now. And, you know, he took on a very game, Robert Neal. I actually faced Robert probably in my third or fourth professional fight. And, you know, now it's up to me now.
Well, I'm also on the line here with Tim Loy and with Ben Sargent. Tim, you know, hit up A-Train.
Hey man, you know, I'm pumped. This is the first time that I've actually been able to attend a conflict show. Casey and I are actually going to be out there calling the play-by-play for the broadcast on Flow. So I'm really pumped to see you in person. You know, everything that I've heard about you is that, you know, you're the man. You're the top dog here in the Southeast when it comes to heavyweights. And so I'm definitely excited to see you in action in person. And you know, Sales looks like a huge monster of a guy too. So you know, always great to see, you know, big talented heavyweights go at it. You know, what can we, you know, give me my primer. You know, I'm gonna have maybe my first time calling one of your fights. So what can we expect to see out of the A-Train? If you've never seen the A-Train fight, you know, what can we expect to see out of you?
I mean, you know, explosiveness. You know, a lot of guys are, you know, once you get above the 250, a lot of guys are real slow, you know, and I think we both are going to bring a lot of speed. We both are well-rounded grapplers, so if it hits the ground, it's not going to be somebody laying on somebody, not, you know, doing something, trying to pass guard or land shots or anything like that. So, I mean, I expect it to be a really good fight. I expect the grappling to be null and void, and I actually expect it to be more of a striking battle.
Well, talk a little bit about you and conflict and, you know, how you got started with them. I know, you know, they have a homestead there in your hometown, in Columbia, South Carolina. That is definitely a fighting city. But, you know, as far as Jared, Andrew, you know, working with the conflict brand for so long, how did this get started and how did this relationship start to evolve?
I've known Andrew for many years before I even started fighting. And, you know, always was just the guy who was talking about actually doing it. And then, you know, one day he got me a fight and, you know, I lost my first amateur fight and that kind of lit a fire up under me to kind of keep continuing on. Later on, Jared got involved and he's been the real driving force, like, you know, putting out there, getting in touch with a whole lot of fighters. And when you're dealing with fighting, there's a lot of dirty promoters. There's a lot of trust issues you got to have. And dealing with conflict, I've not had any issues. If they say this opponent's guy, they flew guys in. They were constantly, you know, getting me fights, whether it be in Savannah, Georgia, Myrtle Beach, here. You know, they've always been, you know, real stand-up guys. And that's, you know, one thing. I've been offered a fight in Pennsylvania, but I kind of didn't want to go because I don't trust the promoters. I don't know them. I never heard of them. My teammate Solon, he fought in Alabama. I drove 5 hours that day for the fight to corner him. End of the fight, he gets his check, he cashes it, and it bounces.
Oh wow!
So yeah, so he never got all his money from that promoter, and you know, had to report it to the commission, and I mean, they really couldn't do but so much. So I mean, it was lucky for him that he came out with the win. He went against a very strong black belt. I mean, and he came out with a win, but imagine, you know, you're taking a loss and you didn't get paid.
Yeah, that's brutal, man. I will say, you know, from experience as a promoter, it's a dirty game, you know. So when you get when you find a promoter that is good and legit and straight up and wants to take care of their fighters, I've got to say you got, you know, you're a smart man to stick with them. And you know, those guys at Conflict seem like great guys. I'm going to be working with them myself, actually, with a co-promotion in Georgia here at the end of July. So definitely excited to keep things rolling with those guys and calling some fights with Casey there. So definitely a cool thing and to see, you know, a lot of this different talent, you know, that you guys have there on the Conflict roster.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there for that fight, too. And Rome, you're talking about the one in Rome, Georgia, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I plan on going to that one.
Nice.
Very cool. Well, real quick, Adrian, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give all of your shout-outs, your sponsors, all those, your training partners, all the people that have helped you get where you are, as well as all of your social media plugs, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Well, the first thing is all my Instagram and, you know, Twitter. Everything is A-Train-803. Apparently, somebody took the name A-Train before I got it, so I had to add 803, you know, so I'm a local guy here.
What was that?
It's A Train 803. So it's A_Train_803. That's on my Twitter. Probably be on my Instagram. Anything with A Train 803 is kind of how you find me on the social media.
803.
Yeah, 803 for the area code here. Thanks to my gym, man. I mean, there's so many people to thank. I can't even name everybody. We started, 9 years ago. So guys who were there for me before that are not now, you got plenty of the guys that are coming in to help me sparring. I mean, I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Thank my coach, Nick Rodriguez, one of the best striking coaches down here in the Southeast. Adam Ginsberg, Mike Robinson, those guys are my grappling coaches. Thanks to Henry's over here, a little sports bar that we hang out at. They sponsor me, always look out for me. Knicks, Gyros, and Subs, Palmetto Car Sales. Thanks, guys. I appreciate all your support, and I hope I make you guys proud on 24th.
Catch Adrian Henderson at Conflict 43 as he vies for the Conflict MMA heavyweight title. And it goes down Saturday, June 24th, live on Flow Combat. Adrian, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys, for having me. You guys have a nice night.
We have rising star Chris Buttrey on the line. He is a 1-0 mixed martial arts competitor who returns to action Friday, June 16th, in the co-main of 50-50 Fight Night number 2 against veteran Billy Combs. Chris, great to have you on the line with us tonight.
Oh, it's a pleasure, man. It's always good to be talking to the greats on here.
Well, you've got a big fight coming up. It's your first time co-headlining an event. You're going to face Billy Two-Tone Combs, a guy that's a veteran of 20 fights. And of course he is a face that we've seen quite often in the Valor Fights on the Valor Fights roster. Now it's 50-50 Fight Night 2. Talk about it.
It's going to be a blast, man. Billy's a tough competitor. He's had a lot of fights, and I just kind of want to showcase myself against someone who has that experience over me to see what I can do. Cause I know what I can do, but I want to see how his knowledge plays in effect against my up-and-coming, I guess my rise, I should say.
You're one of the guys that, we're always bragging on as being, a young buck that's coming up, that one of the better prospects coming through the ranks, and, a ton of potential, a natural athlete. You've been training already for a few years, even though you haven't had, a whole lot of fights. Talk about the matchup with Billy. How do you think you guys match up? He's a guy that, he's got a lot of fights. He's got, 20 fights. He is upside down at 8-12, but he has fought just, the cream of the crop. He's fought very, very tough guys. He's not going to be, nervous or anything like that. He's past that stage, and he's won 2 in a row. So, it's certainly for you to only be 1-0, it's certainly giving up a good amount of experience. How do you think that you guys match up in all departments, striking, grappling? You feel like you're better everywhere. You think there's a place that you need to keep it to keep it to your advantage?
I'm definitely not going to underestimate Billy whatsoever, because, like you said, he has a lot of fights. He has fought some of the best as well. But I do feel like I've trained longer than he has, although I've not had a lot of fights. I've had a lot of guys back out of fights. I've had a lot of injuries that's caused me from not fighting. And I've been in and out. But since September, I kind of took some time back and was like, hey, do I really want to do this? Is this what I really want to do? And I talked to some friends, and they're like, hey, man, this, you need to get back in there. You need to give it another chance and see how you like it. So I started training again, and I definitely do feel like my striking is a lot better than his, but I don't know if he's been training with anybody or what he's been doing for his, but I feel like as far as striking, I'm more crisp. The ground thing, I'm like here and there with my ground, because I don't have a legit jiu-jitsu coach. I just go, and I've trained with some guys who are decently well on the ground as far as when it comes to MMA training. But there's a difference when you get in there and do your jiu-jitsu and like a gi and a no gi. And I've not really done a whole lot of gi jiu-jitsu, but I've done a lot of, like I was with Bushido MMA, of course. So, I did a lot of groundwork with them. But that was basically just like basic stuff. So, I mean, I don't know if Billy has trained with the ground person before, but in that aspect too, I believe that my grappling might be a little better than his as far as my physical strength versus his. I know I'm probably stronger than him. I'm more athletic than he is. And I definitely have more cardio because I'm big on cardio. It's my thing. So I know I just – it's a bounce back fight. I want to get back in there and get some of the ring rust off of me and see how it plays out.
Hey, Butt Tree, this is Ben Sargent. I got a couple questions for you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Ben.
How do you what do you put in your hair? What product do you put in your hair? You got long hair. I saw a picture of you.
I have real short hair. Really, I just have a nice little fade going on. I used to have the long hair.
I'm an asshole, and I messed it up. Yeah.
Nah.
Well,
yeah, I just let it be natural, bro. Let's let it go natural. I just comb it over, right, you know, well, that's how it goes.
That was a fail. Second question. I know Billy Combs. He's actually thinking that he's going to completely destroy you and honestly thinks he could put you out in the first with stand-up, and he knows that you don't have much ground game. And, you know, honestly, he likes to stand and bang. He thinks this is going to be a number three in a row win for him, first round. How do you think you're going to come in and just destroy this guy? Tell us how Butt Tree is going to destroy Billy Combs.
Well, first of all, Billy Combs is not going to put me out in the first round. Let's make that clear. I watch Siler Rich.
What are you going to do?
Siler Rich was 30 pounds lower than Billy, and he put him out in the first round. So I guarantee you, I could put Billy out in the first round. If it has
How
to be striking, if it has to be grappling, it doesn't matter. I just have to come with you.
He said he's going to bring the fire. Stand up. What are you going to bring?
Man, I got the water hose, baby. I'll put his fire out quick. You might be on a little two streak, but. Hey, it could be the right or the left. You know, I got that McGregor with the left. I got that Floyd with the right. He wants to box. I can dirty box with him. If he wants to do a little Muay Thai, I can do a little Muay Thai with him.
Well, that's got me excited. That's got me excited for this one, man. I think this is one of the fights that kind of, you know, stands out as one that's going to be, you know, an all-action fight. For sure. It's the co-main event, you know. Does being, you know, kind of in the spotlight for this card, you know, and we're going to be doing a live stream, you know, a free live stream of this event. So it's a lot of people are going to see it. any nerves, you know, are you just pumped or are you nervous at all, you know, going into a card as the co-main?
I mean, there's always that nerve edge. I mean, you always get that, like, okay, you know, it's getting closer to the fight day, you know, I'm ready, but, you know, you still got those nerves that play in effect. Like, me, I'm not the type of person to get real nervous until it's about, like, 15 minutes till I fight, and then I'm like, oh, man, why's my stomach feeling this way, you know? And then, you know, it's exciting, though, because when you get to walk out, you know, you get to listen to your music, you get your head straight, you get that switch, and it's like, okay, it's go mode. But to me, this fight has been really exciting because I actually like Billy, but I know, you know, when I come to fight, I come to fight, I come to bang, I come to excite the crowd, I come to give them what they pay for, and that's it, man. I come to put on a good show.
Hey,
talk about.
This is Ben again. You're talking about nerves and stuff. Come fight day, you're walking to the cage, he's walking to the cage. Which one of you all has more of the nerves? Who's more nervous to get in that cage?
I don't know, man. I don't know how Billy is when it comes to his nerves. So, like I'm saying, he's had 20 fights, so, I mean, he's probably pretty comfortable. But as far as it comes walking to the cage, and I'm walking out there, and I have my team with me, and I have the fans there supporting. If they're a fan of me or if they're not a fan of me, I mean, that just slots a fire underneath my belly and wants me to grind even harder.
Chris, talk a little bit about the local legends at your team. And, you know, and not just, you know, how the training goes for you there, but talk about a few of the other names that we should be watching out for on this card.
There's several.
Oh, I mean, there's several, man. I mean, shout out to Patrick. Patrick Johnson is one of the most, like, humble guys you'll ever meet in your life. And this guy's he's been through it all. He's a personal trainer. He has a little girl. He's taking care of his little girl. He's grinding just to do what he can for his family. And the guy comes in, you know, he's tough as nails. He played football. I played football. His brother played football. Heck, we've even played football like in the same divisions, but these guys are just a little bit older than I am. And you'll see Jalen, he also fought in Corbin, you know. He didn't come out with the win, but he came out and got his feet wet. And I actually talked to him. I said, hey, man, you need to train a little while before you actually jump right into this. I was like, this is no joke. I was like, you might be in good shape, but your fight cardio is a different ball game. He's like, oh, man, I've been good in shape. So, you know, he got in there and he learned. It's everything's a lesson learned. You know, you win some, you lose some. He's going to be ready to bring it. He's going to be looking to do damage. And I can tell you to really keep your eye open for Patrick, because Patrick has been with me pretty much on a daily basis grinding, putting me through like extreme, you know, strength and conditioning workouts. And I've just been, you know, teaching him what I can as far as striking. So you always have to watch out for his striking game this time. And an up-and-comer with Daquan Sutton. Daquan Sutton has really changed some head, and he should honestly be undefeated. I mean, if he would have known me like before he fought in Knoxville back in September as well, I think he could have beat the guy he fought that night with his striking, because he has came a long way since the first time he has fought, and he's on a what, 3-win streak now.
Yeah, with,
I think what, 2 of those being kickboxing, 1 being MMA.
Yeah, he hit it in very short period of time as well. I mean, it's only been, what, a month and a half that he's accumulated all those wins. He's really been on a roll. It started there at 50-55. I'm sorry, it started at Valor Fights 42 and then at 50-50 Fight Night number 1. So, yeah, he has definitely been on a roll.
He has, man. He's works. He's a kid that comes in and he's like, he came to me after the Knoxville fight. He was like, hey, man, you know, where you train at stuff? And I was like, you know, I was with Bushido. Once everyone knows, I was with Bushido. Shout out to Jason Brake, you know, D Ward and all those guys up there, and Judd Brown. Judd Brown has really taught me everything that I've ever known as far as striking and things and where I'm at, the MMA world. You know, he's been the one who's got me into this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I had a best friend. He passed away about 3 years ago. But he was the main reason why I even wanted to start training, because he took a kickboxing fight against some guy, you know, out of Georgia. Never trained before in his life. He's just like, hey, man, I'm going here and check this thing out, see how it is. He goes in there and loses the first round. And I'm like, listen, man, I ain't losing the first round, man. I ain't even losing the fight, dude. I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to hop into the gym. I'm going to learn everything from the basics, and then I'm going to go from there. And that's what I did. I got with Jason Brake. Jason Brake put me under his wing, taught me a lot of stuff. Shout out to Bushido MMA. Those guys are legit up there. They take MMA, kickboxing, you know, the Naga tournaments, they take all that stuff serious. And they're a legit class MMA gym. And I would recommend them to any upcomers that want to learn this from the basics, you know. But I've been running with this local legends, which was it's located in Morristown, and I go up there and I work out with Patrick, I work out with Jalen, I work out with Daquan and a few other guys who might be coming, you know, who might be making an appearance eventually sometime soon, we don't know. But I've been working with these guys and really we've just been pushing each other and just trying to grind hard. We're looking to get a wrestling coach right now. So, I mean, we got a few guys coming in, you know, who did some D1 wrestling and stuff. So, we're just taking it bit by bit.
Chris, real quick, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your shout-outs where they're due. Of course, your team, your sponsors, everybody that's helped you get where you're at right now. And also give your social media plugs, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and so forth.
I barely use my Twitter, but my Instagram is chris.butchery1. You know, follow me on Instagram for some of my updates, my local things. I usually post pretty regular. And, of course, my Facebook is Chris Butchery. You know, you can find me on Facebook, you know. I want to give a shout out to Tim Lloyd, really, for, you know, allowing me to be a part of Valor and taking a risk of letting me fight for him and pretty much, you know, bringing me up into the rankings and everything. Because if it wasn't for Tim, then, you know, I don't know who I'd be fighting for. I don't even know if I would be fighting. And shout out to you know, the team, you know, who grinds with me and pushes me hard. And, you know, my girlfriend, she motivates me every single day to work out. And when I, and there's days I don't feel like working out, she's like, Chris, you got to get up and do something. You know, you got a fight coming up. You can't just be sitting around being a couch potato. You got to go and work. So, you know, she motivates me, whether it's going out and doing 3 miles or going and, you know, paddleboarding for 2 hours or something. You know, she's always pushing me to do
something. You can't be a Billy Combs, can you? You got to train. You got to work that ass off.
That's right, man. You can't just sit on the couch and get out and fight. You got to put on a show and you got to look good while you're doing it.
Chris Bundry returns to action at 50-50 Fight Night 2 Friday, June 16th, as he faces off in the co-main event against Billy Combs. Chris, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
I appreciate you guys. You guys have a good one.
We have Carmen Carroll on the line with us tonight. Carmen is a 7-1 amateur mixed martial arts competitor fighting out of the Viper Pit in Hazard, Kentucky. He prepares to face Jordan Weeks June 16th at 50-50 Fight Night 2 for the 50-50 welterweight title. Carmen, so great to have you on the line with us tonight.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Well, you are headed into 50-50 Fight Night. Of course, we've seen you up in action there at Warrior FC countless times. Of course, the last outing was utterly dominant. I had the, you know, was fortunate enough to be able to call that matchup. But this is going to be a tough matchup here. Jordan Weeks is no slouch, and it's for the gold. Talk about your preparation.
Preparation for any fight for me is, you know, of course, you know, every fighter is a little different, but the preparation's around the same. You know, you just put in the hard work and get yourself as tired as you can every day, and put in the hard work, work your technique the best you can, and try to be as flawless as you can be in the fight. Yeah,
rock and roll, man. Awesome. Go ahead, Ben.
What's going on, dude? You train at the Viper Pit, huh?
Yeah,
some good training there. Actually, I talked to your opponent, with Jordan Meeks, and he actually said he had a lot to say. He's very passionate about this fight, very serious about it. He actually said he's going to be able to out-grapple you and out-wrestle you and, you know, beat you at what you're best at. What is your mindset going in this fight, and what are you going to do to take that gold home?
I mean, to answer that as honestly as I can, I mean, I don't know what the guy's capable of. I mean, I've never, you know, went head to head with him myself. So, I mean, whatever happens, we'll see. I don't think it'll be easy for, you know, I mean, you never know what's going to happen in a fight, but I don't think it's going to be easy. That's for sure. I definitely think I can win. I don't think a lot of people have got to see what I'm best at either. You know,
are you best at?
Very. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty good, well-rounded. But a lot of my fights, they go to the ground in the end. But see, that's the thing. Like with all my fights, they've been pretty short. I haven't really got a really good challenge yet, and you know he may be the one to give me that, and that's something.
Yeah, he's,
you know,
he's
we'll
actually
see.
He's actually saying that he's going to be more than a challenge for you, and that he is going to put it on you. You know, he said, you know, I'm not going to take this guy lightly. I'm not training lightly, and I'm going to put him away. What if you were here talking to Jordan Meeks? What would you say about that?
I get the whole, talking thing, you know, it builds a lot of hype and stuff, but honestly, I do most of my talking in the ring, you know, like I'm not really worried about what someone else may think of me. He can think he can blow through me if he wants, but you know, that's, you know, of course he, you know, everybody wants to think they're the best. I'd like to think I'm the best, but you know, all you can do is put in the work, do your best, and put on the show. And I definitely don't think he's gonna blow through me though, you know, but we'll see what happens.
Think?
I think a lot of people underestimate me.
I want to hear a straightforward answer. I don't want you to hit around the bullseye.
Don't want me on the fence. it's not that, you know,
baby.
It's not that I'm trying to tiptoe or beat around the bush or anything. I just, you know, I'm all about, you know, respect. I try to be as respectful as I can.
I'll throw that out
I can appreciate that, actually, man. You know, Casey and I called your last fight. It was very dominant, showing. Was that against Jared King? Is that who that was? Is that your last one?
Mm-hmm.
Who is that? Right? Yeah. And he won in his last one and had a big win in Corbin. So that was a tough opponent, and you made it look real easy, man. And you know, that's the first time I'd seen you fight. Very impressed. I think this one's going to be a real fun one because, you know, you can see that you're real scrambly on the ground. And Jordan is also, you know, he's a great grappler too, very tricky. And so I foresee a lot of really cool transitions and scrambles. And you train with the Beverly brothers, who are not Bo and Blake, but Stone and Ken. And they are also very scrambly grapplers, you know. So you've got great guys to, you know, to train with, to prepare yourself for this. You know, talk a little bit about, you know, training with the Beverlys and the other guys at the Viper Pit. And, you know, Stone is on this card as well. So, you know, what can we expect to see from that fight?
Oh, man. I'm glad you brought that up. I do have a really good, team. I mean, good. I mean, honestly, isn't the word. I mean, they're an amazing team. They're like my family. They push me hard. You know, they don't like to see weakness. You get in there and you're training and stuff, and they're screaming at you, get up, do this, do that. You know, they're motivating you and driving you. They're amazing. I mean, they're really talented, and they're like my brothers to me. Like, I've known them for a long time. I was fighting back before they were even old enough to fight, and they've always, you know, I don't know. I mean, the way they talk to me, they talk like I've been kind of an influence to them, but it's really funny to me because I kind of look up to them too. You know, they're like my little brothers, and I'm really proud of them for everything they do. And Stone, I think he's going to do amazing, like he does with every fight. You know, he showcases his skills. He's got great stand up, great on the ground. Like, you couldn't ask for a more well-rounded fighter. Anybody who Stone fights, he's going to give a good run. And the same for Ken. It's really crazy. It's just two gifted brothers doing what they do.
Well, it goes down June 16th. I assume this will be your first title fight. Was this the first time that this is not?
No, I've had a belt before. I held a belt for a while. I'm terrible with time, but whenever I ended up taking a break like I did, you know, moved off and a whole family thing, long story there, but when I left, you know, I just kind of gave it back, and then when I came, you know, back, I showcased what I got, you know, done my best on my last fight, got in good terms with a bunch of promoters, and next thing I know, I'm getting offered a title fight, and I actually have another one after the one with Jordan, and I mean, I'm just taking whatever people give me, you know.
Very cool. Well, this is an opportunity for you to give some shout outs, your team, your teammates, your anybody that has helped you to get where you are, sponsors and so forth, as well as give us your social media plugs, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, as far as shout outs, I definitely want to, you know, say again, you know, even though I bragged on them earlier, I want to thank my team. You know, they're amazing. I mean, they really are just like my family to me. I mean, they mean the world to me. I mean, I love my coach, Donald, niece of my brothers, Ken and Stone, like Jared Short, you know, Jacob Couch, Logan, Brandon Spencer, all the guys I train with, you know, they're all great guys. And, you know, they get in there, they put in the work, and it's a great team, and it feels like a family, you know. I mean, I really love them to death. And also, you know, I want to thank God for being blessed with the abilities that I have. You know, it's not something I ever you know, just planned on doing. It just kind of happened, and I just so happened to be good at it. And I feel like that was just one of his many miracles, is, you know, making someone who doesn't see themselves as capable as much being so good at something, you know, and it really means a lot to me. I think a lot of this sport, it's hard not to be passionate about something, you know, you're good at and you love, you know.
Carmen Carroll faces Jordan Weeks June 16th at 50-50 Fight Night 2 for the 50-50 welterweight title. Check it out. It'll be streamed live on Facebook, or get your tickets at 50-50 Sports Tavern. Carmen, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you guys could have me.
Well, that is all she wrote for another great episode of The Valor Hour. Join us next week as we bring you the full preview of 50-50 Fight Night 2 and continue our updates on a huge June of mixed martial arts events. We'll also speak with Alon Cruz and Damon Blackshear as they prepare to meet at Conflict 43, as well as Warrior FC President Jimbo Collins and Chachi Tabor. And please don't forget to share this broadcast and subscribe at Apple Podcast and Stitcher. Also got to give a shout out to our guest host this week, Ben Sargent. Thanks so much for the fun and excitement. Give us your social media plugs real quick.
Well, I canceled my Tinder, so you can't find me on Tinder anymore. you got to find me. That was a joke. I always call Twitter Tinder, so it's a joke. Thank you for laughing, Tim. Find me on Instagram. I love Instagram. I love me some Instagram. At Ben Sargent. All E's, no A's. BenSargent. Hit me up on Facebook, Willis Benjamin Ray Sargent. If I don't know you, I'm going to accept you and call you a bozo on your Facebook feed. That's all I've pretty much got. I mean, you can get me at Twitter at Willis the Sarge, SARGE. I don't post much, but I'd love for you to follow me on there. I'll follow you back.
Thanks, Ben. Leave it to Ben Sargent to spice up a conversation. And tonight was no exception. For myself and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, thanks so much for listening. And join us next week for another episode of The Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been The Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. This is an MMA Insider's Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Is there a level of condescension that comes from WME IMG towards the MMA industry?
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I mean, it's, to me, I look at that whole retreat, it's a waste of money to me. I mean, I had some fighters tell me that they were interested in going out there and just seeing what they had to say, but when you look at the aftermath of this, how can you, if you are WME and the UFC, how can you say that was a successful weekend?
It was a failure on many levels. Number one, there's a lot of things that came out that embarrassed the company. I mean, Cajun Johnson getting up during the Reebok speaker's speech and basically voicing his opinion right then and there. Probably not the ideal venue that UFC executives would like something like that to come out. You look at the Angela Magana getting punched incident on tape, world star hip hop moment for the UFC. Not a good look. There's, you know, at least six, you know, other instances where I could run down. Everyone's heard them by now, where it just this whole thing was a total debacle, and I don't think it really worked. I think it was counterintuitive. Maybe it worked from the perspective that if you wanted to get a lot of fighters out there to check out the new facility and the new resources that are at the UFC headquarters for fighters, the cryo tank and, you know, the training areas. Absolutely. That's, you know, if your goal is to get fighters to leave their camps and move to Vegas and work out of the UFC headquarters, so they're under your thumb and under your watchful eye, great move. Other than that, this was a total waste of time. And more importantly, a waste of money. You have a lot of fighters there crying poverty, crying foul, looking to get raises. You know, and I came up with a mathematical equation. I was going to go over it, you know, on the show today, Jason, and say this probably costs this much, that costs this much. But then Kat Zingano did her interview for MMA Fighting and basically said, you know, it had to have cost millions of dollars. I mean, your low end, maybe $750,000, but that's probably, people are probably laughing at that because that's very low end. It was well over $1 million.
The MMA Insiders can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.